Tonight, I want us to look at the fifth stage of battling loss. We're battling it through prayer. When I attempt to preach it, this is what I didn't get preached, right? And here's what we're going to learn together tonight. The sixth stage of loss. Now remember, stage one is shock. No matter what goes on in your life, whatever that loss is, the beginning of it is shock. We're standing there. We don't believe it's real. We can't imagine that the tragedy has happened. And it does. Listen, folk, it doesn't matter about the type of tragedy. Tragedy is tragedy. When we lose a loved one, it's tragic to that individual that lost a loved one. It's tragic to the individual who loses a job. It's tragedy going on in the life of individuals, just like with pets. It's tragic within their life. Now, we try to say, yeah, but that's not as important. If it's tragedy in an individual's life, it's still tragedy in that individual's life. So we focus then, what do we do with this tragedy? First, we go in shock. The next is sorrow. We're very sorrowful because we're coming to reality now. We've been in shock. We're coming a little bit to ourselves and we're saying, this is real. This is real. Either a loved one's gone or the situation, you know, is so horrible within our individual lives. We're coming to reality and we're sorrowful in that reality. The next then is the struggle. Number three, we start struggling with what do I do next? You know, it's always taken two of us to think, what am I going to do now? With half a family, you have half a brain. You have half a love. You have a brokenness that is there. So you start dealing with the struggles. And number four in dealing with the stage of loss is surrender. That was a focus of a surrendering to the fact that the tragedy has taken place. We're surrendering our will. We're surrendering our thought process. We're surrendering all of the tragedy as acceptance. I accept now. I surrender, Lord. I realize that this has all taken place. I've been through these stages. And now after I surrender and acknowledge it, we go to stage five tonight, which is trouble. Now, folks, it doesn't matter, again, what type of tragedy that is going on within our life, what type of loss that it is. It comes down to it that when we have that loss, we're going to have trouble. Why? Because our life structure has been changed. Our habits have been changed. You start, if it's a loved one, you hear their voice ever so often. And some get to the point of where they're saying, did you say something? And then you realize once again that no, it wasn't them because I lost them. But we start now, life still goes on. Remember, folks, it doesn't matter. If I die this moment, life will go on. This church will continue. If you die this minute, things within your family will go into the shock and we'll go through all of these processes. But life continues to go on. But you and I need to make certain that we know the biblical background of all of the stages of loss so that we can pay attention in our own life when it strikes us or already has struck us to where we can learn and we can see that God's hand always remains in the life of a Christian. Let me say that again. God's hand always remains in the life of a Christian. Therefore, the same hand that was there when we were born is the same hand that is going to be there through our life, and the same hand is going to be there, say, yep, I remember when you were a thought in my mind, says God. You were a thought in my mind. Come on and be with me. God's hand is always on his children. He never takes his hand off. Now, do we try to dodge being grabbed by him sometimes? Yes. Doesn't a child try to dodge when they think they might get chastised? You know, it's the duck and weave. And hoping that, you know, they're going to get away. But God keeps that loving hand right there on us. Stage five, trouble. We are transformed. See, God wants us to always be transformed. You and I are never going to stay at the same level. We're always going to grow. You're going to grow. You may grow poorly, meaning to say you may grow by eating junk food all day long, and you're still going to grow. And the healthy person eating the healthy food up over there, they're going to grow, but they might have a little bit better complexion than the person who eats Snickers all day long. Now, I don't know that as a fact, but I'm guessing on that one. God looks at us and he sees us as individuals. And in our individuality again, God says, these troubles that you're going through, I'm going to use them for your good. The things that you and I look at is seeing so bad, God says, I will turn them around for your good. Well, Lord, how can you turn such a tragedy of my loss into something that is good? Again, we, from the human standpoint, forget too often that God does not think as man thinks. You and I think only in our little sphere of growth, of our little family unit, of our little world unit. And God's world is infinity. God's world has no bounds. And God says, I'm bringing you into my world. We're down here, tied up, heartbroken, and we're hurting. And God is saying, but there's better stuff to come. You haven't seen the greatness that I've promised you. But Lord, we've been blessed beyond imagination. You haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to bring you home with me. The transforming of trouble is a gift from God. Therefore, I understand that trouble is a blessing from God. Now, Christian, until we start looking at troubles as being a blessing, they're going to get us down and we're going to have a hard time getting up. Where there is trouble, God is there, because you're God's children. As a Christian, you are the child of the King. So therefore, when trouble comes in your life, trouble then is knocking on heaven's door. Trouble then is coming to the heart of God. And God sees the trouble that is affecting us, and he takes joy in turning the trap around on the world and causing that trouble to turn for our good, our benefit. He promised that, and he does it. Romans 5, 3 and 4. We know that these troubles produce patience, and patience produces character. Now, our trouble with patience, and I know I have a whole church full of people that are so patient with each other, so patient with what's going on around us. And our patience, you know, we are so patient, we're patient with patience. No, we're not. We're just like any other human being. Lord, I want to be patient, and I'm patient on waiting on your answer to my prayer, so I'll stand here for a second and answer me. That's about our extent of being patient. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. Now, during trouble, are we not brokenhearted? Sure. Do we not feel so often that our spirit is crushed? Lord, I can't handle anymore. But then we read his word and he says that I will not place on you any more problems than you are able to handle. So therefore, I know I'm foolish in making such a statement. And one thing we need to be careful with, don't charge God foolishly. Too often we pray foolishly and God blesses us in our foolishness of prayer. God really does. But what I'm saying about being careful with, don't charge God that from an angry spirit of saying he's done something wrong. God made a mistake. Where I hear this a lot of times are with individuals. I'm just a mistake of nature. I'm just a mistake. I've been raised saying that I was a mistake, so I know that I'm a mistake. Well, as a Christian, when we realize that God creates us, God makes and molds us. Oh, gosh, he says, I knew what you were going to do before you did it. Now, that's God. That's not your wife. That's God. That's not your mother. That's God saying, I knew and I loved you anyway. Oh, gosh, catch that. I love you so much knowing that you were going to turn against me. And I let you be born. And I let you go through your foolishness. I let you do all the dumb things in life. Now, if we can catch this one point here tonight. I will let you go through these dumb stages, foolish statements, bad case, stupids, whatever we call it. But there's a point to where I need you to do this before I bring you home. It's our mission. It's our mission story. It's our life story. It's God's mission for our life. Moses didn't start his until he was 80 years old. Well, just think of that. He had 80 years. Here he's out in the world doing all of these things and murdering people, whipping people, you know, doing all of this stuff until God says, Moses. Now, when you got a bush that's burning and it doesn't go out and the voice is coming from that bush that doesn't go out, then I suggest you take off your sandals and pay attention. Because that's God talking to us. And he says, these troubles I've given, allowed to be on your life, and some that I will see that do come on your life, but they were going to come to strengthen you. For what, Lord? For the battle ahead. For what battle? If God told us the battle that we're going to fight in the future, we might not want to live to the future. See, can you really handle in your younger days knowing or having the knowledge today, what that you have today about life, if you'd known that in your younger days? Oh, we always say that, yes, if I knew then what I know now, what? You'd have done the same dumb thing. Yep. We know that. That's who we are. Okay, God says, I'm going to turn. I'm going to transform you with trouble that is in your life. Do you know he will only allow? Now, I want you all to think about when God says, I will only allow you to be tempted to a certain point. You got that? Okay. Each one of us, the point is different. Each one of us, the temptation comes at different angles and times within our life. And as those temptations come, there are different temptations. The idea, what kind of temptation? Well, temptation of smoking, temptation of drinking. If you're tempted in any way within your life, God will use that temptation to bring you closer to him. There is nothing going on in your life that God won't use to glorify his name and to lift you out of the ditch. Nothing. Whatever it is, God is going to allow it till he raises us up right out of that ditch. God's number one purpose in our life, page one, his number one purpose in our life is to make us more like Jesus. Remember, God created us to be our friend and us befriend him. God created us to love him, to love us, and for us to love him. God's number one purpose throughout Scripture is that we will become more like Jesus. Don't you remember that we are Jesus's offspring? We are the offspring of Christ, spoken of from the time of the garden and of the serpent in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before that Jesus is placed on the cross or tried. Understanding that God's love is so great that he loves us enough to let us go through the trouble with him helping us through it. Well, Lord, now why don't we just skip the trouble part? Why don't we just get to the point from the day that I'm born, and then, Lord, let's go right to that perfect stage right up here. Let's just skip this life stuff. Our life is our story for heaven. Our life is our story for heaven. We have a life story. Do we think that this story of our life is some big secret? Why, no. If you think you got a secret, just ask somebody else in the church. They'll let you know they knew that all the time. You don't have any secrets. And God especially knows. But he wants us to live life. I don't understand what we're going to be doing in eternity. All I know for a fact is whatever it is that God has trained us for here, that we will be glorifying his name based from our life here that has been glorified through the life of Jesus. Nobody is in heaven that does not have the blood of Christ. From the beginning of the age of time, I get so angry and aggravated listening to folks say, well, you know, this was before the Christ and the Christian era. And I want to just sort of climb right in that television set and let them know there's nothing that existed before Christ. Judaism, how God decided to bring us up to the point of the New Testament church or through the period of Christ. It's an amazing story. It's in the Bible. But each step points to Jesus to come. Now, each step points to him coming again. And when he comes again, that's it. When God says that's it, folks. When I give up the breath in my life and God takes my spirit right back to himself, that's where it came from. When I quit breathing here, my spirit is taken back up into heaven with the realm of paradise with Christ, okay? When that happens, this body can no longer function for God. You and I can only function for God when the Spirit of God is within our body. But now our spirit is gone from the body, and the real us, we're praising the Lord with the Lord in that spiritual body. That we do have. Yes, we do. And in that spiritual body, we are praising the Lord. When this old vehicle starts to rust, well, in this case, as a human being, this vehicle starts to rot. About the same thing, rusting and rotten. Rottening. When it's... yeah, okay. When we start falling apart in this body, we understand there's a new glorified body that we're going to be in soon. And that new glorified body will have no pain. There'll be no troubles, no trials, no tears. There'll be no, I wonder if. There'll be no guessing. The game ceases in our life. then reality sets in. The only reality, the only thing that is truly real is our life to come. See, okay, we look at ourselves and what do we do as Christians? As Christians, we look forward. We can tell the stories. We can say, this is what the Lord says. This is what's going to happen to them. Great stories. But folks, we can't imagine how great it is. I know it's got to be wonderful. No, we really don't. Because it's greater than wonderful. There's not a term in the human language that can tell us how great that is. Therefore, troubles are a blessing. Romans 8:29, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who should become like his son, so that his son would be the first with many brothers. Got that? But God knew who would. See, it's not that God made you and I accept his son. God knew we would accept his son. But when God says, okay, everything in creation begin, nature started doing its thing. Human nature started doing its thing. The heavenly realm started doing its thing. And whatever the thing is still happening. But God knew at what point you and I would accept his son. And he knew it. Ephesians 4:15. God wants us to grow up like Christ in everything. Our whole life on this earth is growing up. Did you ever say to somebody, an adult, and you say, yeah, they're still a kid, and never did grow up? Well, to say that about Christians. Yep, they're still at the bottle, slurping and burping that milk. They don't want the meat. They don't want the power because they want to take life easy. So as Christians, well, Lord, we'll just stay on milk because it's a little easier. You're telling us to take a greater step in faith. I'd rather tell the story about faith than me have to take the step of faith. Because what if I find myself not worthy? Don't ever say that, because we aren't worthy. That's a given. But through Christ, we are made worthy. Colossians 1 verse 15. We look at the Son, S-O-N, and see God's original purpose in everything created. Now, as Christians, what this scripture tells us is, before creation ever began, Christ was. Now, you can't get that through to some people of intellect, with intellect in the Bible. Having memorized the whole Bible, that's great. I love to hear people that can do that, memorize the whole Bible. What good is it without Holy Spirit direction? What good is a verse if the verse doesn't mean anything to you? Therefore, you and I go through troubles, and God says, I'm going to make those troubles bless you. See, what we're witnessing is God turning the troubles into good. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image and likeness. Well, as a Christian, I know that through all of the stuff, the old religions, no matter what they are, they were around before Christianity. I wonder why people want to keep, and I hear it taught a lot, and it bothers me. Folks, I'm a Christian, and I understand that nothing was around before Christ. If you want to say, well, what you've done, you've copied from Greek mythology, and there you have a god sending his son, or you know, through the human, and that's Greek mythology. There's nothing mythical about Christ. You and I, as Christians, understand that before anything was God, and the Word was with him, and the Word was God. Therefore, Christianity is not copied from what was already in existence. Christianity is the real thing. Christ is not a copy. God is not a copy. But it's better for people to believe. Have you ever noticed that people would rather believe in the abnormal or the Ghostbuster stuff. Yeah, the spiritual, you know, all of these things. Oh, I believe that. I look to these silly people on, you know. No, I believe that. No, I'm talking to my mom right now through the medium. Well, you're talking to somebody, but ain't your mama through that medium. Now, is there something to that? Yes. That's why we are warned from God's word to stay away from it. There is something to it. There is an evil that is present there. If God needs to reveal something to you, he doesn't need a medium, a preacher, a priest, or anyone else to come tell you something. He uses us to bring his word, and through the process of listening to God's word and dealing with the problem that is in your heart and in your life, the Holy Spirit then gives you your answer. Not the preacher, not the priest. And the medium will give you an answer as long as you got a dollar. As long as you can pull out those bills, they'll keep giving you an answer. They'll even let you come back tomorrow, and I guarantee you when you come back tomorrow, they'll have every proof in the world that not only was you talking to your mother, you was talking to the dog that died with her. That is foolishness. God is not. What God uses to make us like Jesus, are we ready? His Holy Spirit, under conviction, his word, right? As we, the more we read, Other people, always will give us a step up. And I don't care if they're the bad ones. We got to step up. I'm very appreciative of the opportunity I had to get to live as a chaplain in the world of criminals. Because in that world, I saw how Satan truly does work in the heart of those who worship him. So that was an experience for me of growth. I don't want to do it again anymore, and I want to go back through Marine Corps boot camp again. I love what I went through, but I don't want to go back through it. I learned enough. Then here's the way he talks to us: through problems, pressure, pain, and suffering. Now, all you and I need to do is to pay attention that through the problems, through the pressure, through the pain, and through the suffering, God's trying to get something across to us. I think we would probably have a little easier time in these areas if we would shut up groaning and griping about them long enough to listen. Lord, I'll shut up. Just please tell me what I need to be doing. Larry, would you have even asked me what you need to be doing if there hadn't been trouble in your life? If pain hadn't hit you, would you have taken a break? Would you have backed away like I told you to for a while? Would you have stepped down when I knew that it was going to hurt you if you were not suffering a little? Yeah. Lord, no. But, you know, just give me another way next time. I mean, I'm a believer now. You heard enough. What happens? You know, everybody in this church, every one of us believe that we don't need to back off from anything and any problem, and we can do anything by ourselves. And the reason we don't want people to know that they're going to mess it up. We know, and God knows also. And God says, I love you. Therefore, use all of these areas of your life. See me in them. Romans 8:17. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. Let me do it again. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. Do you all know that present tense? We go through exactly what Christ goes through. Why would that be present tense? Why not we go through exactly what Christ went through? Because if you're going through it, Christ is going through it with you. You and I belong to Him. There's nothing that you and I are going through that He's not going through with us. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. There's the promise. 2 Corinthians 4:8-18. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in us. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Yeah, I'm proud to be a Christian. Yes. Therefore, all the stuff down here we take so serious right now, oh, do we have a great awakening coming? How should Christians respond to the trouble? You ready? Remember that God's plan is good. God's plan is good. If your plan messed up, God didn't give you that plan. Got it? God's plan is good. 1 Peter 4:12. Don't be bewildered or surprised when you go through the fiery trials ahead, for this is no strange, unusual thing that is going to happen to you. If you continued on that in 1 Peter, you would find because it's happened to everyone else. It's not unusual of what you're going through. But God's plan is good. You know, His plan is the only winning plan we have. Only winning plan our nation has. Number two, rejoice and give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Have you all seen the movie yet, God Is Not Dead? I was so proud of Hunter. I saw him come in from school. He started middle school with his shirt on, God Is Not Dead, and it wasn't turned wrong side out. We're in a blessed county, folks. We still have our freedoms around here, and I probably shouldn't be saying it too much. I'll have somebody coming in trying to take them away. But listen, you cannot take away what I have in my heart. You cannot take away what God has planted within my mind and in who I am as His child. Though you say Christ doesn't exist, that does not make Christ not existing. Though they say there is no God and God is dead, that doesn't mean that there is no God and that God is dead. You need to see that movie. It's a great movie. Did I finish? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No matter what, give thanks. And here's the last one. Big one. Refuse to give up. Listen, folks, it's not how many times any of us have been knocked down. Did we give up? Did we just quit? How many have everybody right here seen that started out gung-ho in Christ, and then as soon as too many troubles, as soon as corrections are made or whatever within their life, then they just quit. They quit God. How many times have we seen that? How many times have we witnessed in the young years that we have, that have we witnessed the same story, just different names, and they go back to the world? There's always that wonder within our mind. But I do know a promise that God keeps. Raise a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. You think, you know, you have your child. You know, is my child ever, is he really alive? He's grown in that chair. He has, the chair surrounds him. And then ever so often, it's, if you have teenagers, you go over and all you want to do is see if they're breathing. Because they've been focused on whatever. And then it doesn't do you any good to put your hands in front of their eyes. They don't see that. That's the way the world hypnotizes. That's the way Satan hypnotizes us. Get me into foolishness. And that'll keep me away from what is real. Give a person pleasure, and in their pleasure, they'll forget the Christ who gave them that pleasure. Refuse to give up, James 1, 3, and 4. Let the process go on until your endurance is fully developed, and you will find that you have become men of mature character with no weak spots. Closest I can tell you that of that happening to the human being, I really believe it's just before we step to the other side. See, we will grow when people say, well, look, I've reached this level. A person who says they've reached that level, they're so far down here, is pathetic. You know, I've reached that level. I don't know what the level is. What I do know is this, that through Christ, we will never have to stay down. Through Christ. And again, I bring this because of what's going on into the world. If we're confronted by these maniacs who are going through, churches are being warned time and time again, watch after each other at church, because the war is against Christianity. And it's going only to get worse. You and I need to understand something. I don't know what I will say, and you don't know what you will say if it happens. But one thing for sure, God already knows what I'll say and what you'll say. But he'll let us in on it when it's time. In the meantime, you and I keep praying for the viciousness we see throughout the world. For God is still on his throne. These people are not winners. They're losers. How do I know that? They've challenged God himself. They have cursed God directly and have declared war against his son, against Christianity. Therefore, they've already lost. They have already lost. They just don't know it yet. Well, you're talking about us overrunning him and stopping him. We need to protect our nation and protect our families, yes. But God does the battle. And when they dig a pit, they'll fall into their own trap. And when they try to send a bomb, what if they got the big one and they're getting ready to launch, and all the smoke and all the power, they'll hear rumbling, and the hand of God places his hand over the top and it blows in place. Huh. You know what people call that? That's an accident. Folks, I do not fear what man can do. And I pray for those who mock him, because they will see the power of God.